my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1, 2, 3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
The guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger. Woo!
Hey friends, welcome to episode 263 of my 1, 2, 3 cents the podcast, and it is the first Monday of a new month, and that means it's time for 2 is greater than 1. I will be joined, of course, by my co-host Tyler Heath Hatton in just a few minutes, but first wanted to run down a couple of quick things going on here with my 1, 2, 3 cents and the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. Of course, you can listen to other great shows here, including Greg Mahochko's 5 Heart podcast, and Greg and his co-host of the year, Mike Luther, they team up every week for a show called Nerds United. So be sure to subscribe to the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. Be sure to share it. Follow us on social media. We are on Facebook and Twitter. And get the word out. Spread the word about the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. We've got some big things coming up in 2020. Looking forward to that as well. And, you know, shout outs to some other friends out there with podcasts, including Chad Smart's Positive Cynicism Podcasting Network. He's got some great episodes and shows dropping on the regular, so be sure to check that out. Of course, there is our friends in Cape Girardeau, Missouri as well, Podzilla 1985. You can give their shows a listen as well and follow them on social media. And then, of course, check out Tom and Jim's Top 5, another favorite here amongst the Jittery Monkey podcasters, as well as the Skullbuster Wrestlecast. So be sure to check out those forums. Also want you to check out Stride Pro Wrestling. It is strideprowrestling.com. That'll connect you to the social media pages. And a big show coming up on December 7th. Tyler and I will talk all about that in this week's episode. It's a big fundraiser event for someone who means a lot to independent wrestling here in Southern Illinois. So please stick around and give that show a listen. But also, we are culminating the Stride Pro Wrestling My 1, 2, 3 Cents Wrestling Action Figure Drive. The goal is 250 new in-the-box action figures to donate to Toys for Tots here in Southern Illinois. Yes, it is a ripoff of the major wrestling figure podcast, their toy drive, on a much, much smaller scale, obviously. This is a one-man production going on here with this. So if you would like to make a donation, if you have toys, you can bring them to the December 7th show in Marion, Illinois, or you can simply PayPal kevinhuntsberger@gmail.com. $5 or more, each $5 that is donated gets you entered in for a drawing for an autographed Four Horsemen poster. And we'll be doing that raffle and drawing the second week of December. And the money that is raised from that, every dime of it, will go to Five Below to buy multiple wrestling action figures, because that is the place to kind of grab those $5 figures. And so I came up with that $5 amount to get you entered into the drawing. So again, shoot me a message here on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you're listening to this podcast. Get a hold of me if you'd like to make a donation and aren't able to do it in person, and we can work out all the details and specifics and get you entered in to win that Four Horsemen poster. It's an autographed poster that Chad picked up last year and has donated it to this cause, so I am grateful for him being a part of that as well. Also want to remind and thank you for checking out ProWrestlingTees.com/my123cents, as well as Collar and Elbow Brand. The promo code MY123Cents will save you 10% on your order. And a shout out to Jeff Holke, who is, without a doubt, the most loyal collar and elbow customer from the MY123Cents collection out there. Jeff, I appreciate what you do, supporting this brand, supporting this cause. So Jeff is a great guy and has been the correspondent for MY123Cents at a couple of different events that are related to AEW. He was at the first All In event, and he does the live tweeting for us when he heads out to those events, he and his buddy Brandon. So I appreciate what they are doing for us here at My123Cents and supporting the cause as well. Check out the YouTube channel. I am going to be having some announcements and some content coming up in the month of December that will kind of have an impact on the rest of the year here with the podcast, and kind of changing things up on how used to do something in particular, the Cinti Awards. So be sure to check out YouTube this week. It will be a game changer, and you will be involved in that process as well. So again, check out youtube.com/my123cents. Subscribe, let your friends know about the channel and everything we're doing here at My123cents. I'm looking forward to 2020, some big changes, some big plans for the brand. So be sure to stick around and stay tuned for Tyler Heath Hatton as we talk more about the AAPW show and just a hodgepodge of indie wrestling, his theory and philosophy on some things, and a teaser for next month's episode.
It's time for school, but you're not going to be saved by this bell. Established in 2016, Stride Pro Wrestling trainers have put their years of experience to help train the next generation of professional wrestlers. Nearly a dozen students have graduated and are now making a name for themselves, not only here at Stride Pro Wrestling, but beyond. Our athletes aren't locked into any long-term contracts, so if you want to train, use your head and contact Stride Pro Wrestling today. It's training you'll flip for. So kick your future into high gear now.
Hey everyone, as promised, my guest co-host for the first Monday each month is Heath Hatton, Tyler Heath Hatton of Stride Pro Wrestling. And last month, Heath, we talked all about the big AAPW resurrection show that Stride Pro Wrestling is putting on, and we're going to kind of continue that conversation. As you mentioned last month, this is a fundraiser event for your very good friend, Curly.
That is correct. It is, this will be dropped on, I guess, Monday. Yeah. So it'll be that Saturday coming up the 7th. So it's a big show. We're looking forward to it.
What has been the build-up, the lead-up to all of this in terms from the last time we talked? Because you were working on some names from All American Pro Wrestling. And if you missed that episode, go back and listen. It was the first Monday in November we talked about that. Lots of work behind the scenes going on to get everybody kind of in place and lined up for an event of this magnitude.
It was not easy. When I knew I wanted to do it, I sent out some feelers to some people, and I had a lot of people reach out, and then I was kind of overwhelmed at the mm-hmm. amount of people that wanted to do it. We announced Edmund Livewire McGuire is returning, and he actually returned at the last Stride show and came out after the last main event, and it had been 7 years since he had been at a wrestling show.
Wow.
So he had done some, like he said, some Comic-Cons and stuff like that, but this was the first one that he was a part of or on mm-hmm. the show. So that was exciting for me. Gaylord Stevens, Axe, his brother, I think you're probably the most excited for his return.
I love Gaylord, yes.
I've had so many people message me about his promo and the things that he's done. Mm-hmm. Christian Rose was a big one that has returned, and Playboy Paul Rose, mm-hmm. Brandon Espinoza is returning, and Dalton Diamond, who hasn't been in a Stride ring in a while, or AEPW alum, and The Patriot.
Okay.
Carnage will be returning, and Serial Thriller Shane Rich will be returning.
Former AAPW heavyweight champion and tag team champion as well. And
what can you talk about? Because I know there are going to be some surprises that night. What can you talk about in terms of matches? Because this isn't all AAPW versus Stride per se, but there are going to be some, you know, obviously we announced that Dexter Roswell will be taking on Shane Rich, the serial killer.
So, yeah, so we have, you know, I'll go. So B-Rad will be going one-on-one with Will Power, so a former tag team. B-Rad kind of turned on Will Power, and, you know, Sam has announced that they will be in a match. Mr. Anthony will wrestle Carnage. So last Stride show, Mr. Anthony was supposed to be the special guest ref in the main event. And Mr. Anthony is Sam's personal assistant. For reasons unknown, like he is from the parts unknown, reasons unknown, Carnage attacked Mr. Anthony and left him laying, and Mr. Anthony has challenged him to a match. And I am no stranger to Carnage.
He used to kick your ass quite a few times, right?
I think I was like 0-9 against him at one part. We used to go to Alney every Wednesday, and I remember Sean or Carnage was like, "I'm going to start coming up and wrestling on Wednesdays." And like the first time I come up, they're like, "Hey, we're going to have you work Carnage because you guys know each other." Yeah. And then he kicked my ass and beat me. And then like the next week, I was supposed to wrestle somebody else, and right before the show started, like, "Hey, you got to wrestle Carnage again," and he kicked my ass and beat me. And then we used to do shows in Muskuta.
Okay.
And two shows up there, he kicked my ass and beat me. And then we did one in West Frankfort, and he was like, "Hey, you're going to be in a tag match." And on the other side of the tag match was Carnage and somebody else. And then Carnage kicked my ass and beat me. And then I remember one time, I just, it was a while after that, I kind of moved on and was wrestling other people, but he was like, "Hey, you're working Carnage tonight." And I was like, "Damn it." And I beat him with a roll-up at school board.
Oh, nice.
And that was my first ever win. And then I never wrestled him. Actually, we wrestled in McLeansboro one time.
Okay.
And it was like high-voltage professional wrestling or voltage. I don't know. It was something. Anyway, they made me their heavyweight champ. And my first title defense was against Carnage, and I beat him.
Oh, nice.
And so and that was a good time. But yeah, they will be going at it. And then we are going to have a 5-on-5 AAPW versus Team Stride match. And Team AAPW will consist of The Patriot, Brandon Espinoza, Dalton Diamond, Playboy Paul Rose, and Christian Rose.
Okay.
And then Team Stride will be Bo Sawyer, who is the captain, Riser, Cash Borden, who is returning.
Nice.
And then he says he has two surprises for his to round out the team.
Okay.
So unaware of who they are, but he said he has a surprise of two members.
That'll be a good match.
Rumor has it that it's Kevin Huntsberger.
Oh, it's so not.
It could be Kevin Huntsberger and Bob Fester.
There you go.
Could round out the team.
There you go.
And Sam has announced there will be a special guest ref.
Oh, okay.
Match. We don't know who that is.
No referee announcement yet. Okay.
So, and then Dexter Roswell is going to go one-on-one with Shane Rich. And then the Kings of Destiny, which is Hargis, Roger Mathis, and Savion, will take on the Sin City Saints and everybody's favorite, Heath Hatton.
Woo!
In a 3-on-3 match. And then Mike Masters goes 1-on-1 with Magnifico for the Legacy title.
Okay.
And then Axe Allwort and Gaylord Stevens will take on Red Daniels and Livewire McGuire.
So it is a stacked card, obviously. I think that's, what, 8 or 9 matches.
And then there's also people who remember there was a guy who came to a couple Stride shows. His name was Will. He travels with Brandon Espinoza.
Okay, yeah.
He has announced that he's coming. A couple other people have announced that they are coming. Caleb Black, who used to wrestle for I Call quite a bit and Strictly Insane, he has announced that he will be there. The Raging Redneck.
All right, favorite redneck will be there.
Yes, he will be there. The Masked Guy will be there. And Brian Richards, TJ Kellis, John Kellis, Zoe Moore, Kerry Gold. They will all be there. So I don't know what's in store for them, but they will be there. So that pretty much rounds out. And there's, like you alluded to it, we have a ton of surprises.
Well, and you had mentioned, obviously, that last group of individuals are trainees at Stride or have gone through the Stride system. And then, of course, you talk about the Christian Roses and the Carnage and Shane Rich, guys that you worked with in those early days of your training. So how, you know, obviously now you are the teacher and not the student. How are things different from 10 years ago when you were training versus how you now go about and train the men and women of the ring right now?
The way I do it when I train is I take a lot of what I liked that mm-hmm. people did for me. That was probably my biggest complaint early on in wrestling, is I felt like people didn't help
mm-hmm.
and people, but I had good guys like Edmund McGuire, or Shane Rich and guys like that who Axe Allward, who took me, you know, under their wing. And, you know, I don't know if we've ever talked about it before, but a funny story for me was when I started wrestling, I was terrified to wrestle one individual.
Okay.
And that one individual was Axe Allward.
Really?
So I was terrified to wrestle him.
And why?
I had it in my mind that he was a shooter.
Okay.
And I had it in
I
my,
can see that.
And I had it, and he... Back then, Axe was, it was always him and Gaylord,
mm-hmm.
and he would talk to, and he was always the main event, and I was always the lower card, and, mm-hmm. But anyway, I would just watch him, and he would have heat, and he looked mean.
Yeah.
He looked like somebody you would see at a bar.
Exactly, yes.
And so, I was just legit terrified of him, and I was like, well, you know, if he's a veteran, he's so well liked. If he shoots on me and we get in a fight, and you know, I'm not saying I couldn't hold my own,
right?
But that would ruin my career,
right? Right.
And so, I didn't know if I would be okay going out there and mm-hmm. getting shot on. So I was terrified. And there was a couple times that I, you know, the booker and was telling me that they were thinking about doing something, and I would, I'd be sick to my stomach, and I would go to the show, and sometimes cards subject to change, and you know, I think my first ever show, we shared the poster, and it was supposed to be Shane Rich versus Carnage,
mm-hmm.
and I wrestled Carnage. So back then, the card was always subject to change, and there wasn't Facebook, really, wasn't
yeah,
a big thing.
Right.
And so a lot of it was, still then, a lot of the wrestlers had home phones.
Okay.
And I knew that you talked to them through their home phone. And I knew that's what Sean would always talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And he would talk about how he booked people through their home phone.
Oh, wow.
And so if they weren't there, some of them didn't have a cell phone.
Yeah.
Even in 2009, which is as crazy as that seems. But anyway, I got to a show and... I was wrestling Axe,
mm-hmm.
and it was a tag match. Anyway, the ending was messed up, and Axe, always, like he tells this story, and it's kind of breaking kayfabe, but Axe was getting up, and he thought, I hope this kid is coming off with the drop kick. And in my mind, it had screwed up, and I knew that I was supposed to hit a drop kick, but not till later. Anyway, Axe was getting up, and as soon as he turned around, I was there, and I hit him. And he was like, thank God. That's what he said to me in my ear. And I pinned him and got the pin. And we got to the back, and he walked over, and he was like, hey, I just told Sean I want to work you again.
Oh, okay.
And after that, we became friends,
yeah.
and we talked, and we wrestled. And we always had good chemistry, but he was the one person that, like, I think really taught me how to work
mm-hmm.
as far as how to wrestle, because, you know, I up until that point, I was, okay, let's put together these spots.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do? Let's put together. And he taught me how to listen to the crowd, how to think, how to kind of bounce ideas back and forth in the ring. and how to not, you know, worry. Just go out there and have fun and not worry about anything. And so that really didn't even answer your question that you asked, but it was one of my favorite stories.
That's good. And I think, you know, when we get more into these podcasts, we'll do episodes on people who influenced you or are in, you know, I think it's safe to say that Axe is, if not your greatest, definitely top three or four greatest opponents in the ring, I think, from a storytelling perspective. And then, you know, kind of the platforms of all the different organizations you both have wrestled. I've seen you wrestle in four different companies, I think, if you count. Did you guys ever wrestle in Pro Wrestling Collision?
We did not.
That's right. So, but yeah, we'll talk more about Axe on another podcast. You know, is it hard as an instructor, as a coach, and was it hard for you as a student as well? I think a lot of times people go into these situations with preconceived notions of how wrestling is. They see what's happening on WWE and now today with AEW and the styles being so different. Do you have to kind of provide a reality check for some of these guys and men and women who think that they're going to come in there and be the next Pac or the next Hangman Page or Kenny Omega?
No, I mean, right off the get-go, and this is, you know, typically what happens at a wrestling school, is I tell them, like, look at WWE or look at AEW or TNA and get that out of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is not what indie wrestling is.
Yeah.
Those are both top-of-the-line promotions. Agree with what you want. It's, you know, at our show, there's no Jumbotron. There's mm-hmm. no Titantron.
Right.
You know, there's, and I'm not trying to brag, but sitting, and I mean, Ace Hawkins would allude to this, or anybody who's wrestled in a WWE ring, sitting in a crowd looking out in front of 20,000 people under their lights, it's a different feeling and a different atmosphere than it is no matter how great a company is. I mean, mm-hmm. All-American Pro Wrestling, the setup was top-notch.
Right.
But sitting in front of that crowd, even in front of 400 people at main event, is not the same feeling.
Sure.
At West Frankfurt for Stride, in front of 600 and however many people,
mm-hmm.
it's not the same feeling as being under those lights in front of that. I mean, from 600 people to 20,000.
Right.
It's a different feeling.
Oh, sure.
And, but mm-hmm. You know, get that out of your mind. When you first walk in, get that thought out of your mind, because that's not wrestling. That mm-hmm. is, I mean, that's where you want to be, but you have to enjoy. I mean, our locker room, you couldn't fit three more people in there.
Right.
In the back.
Right. It's tight. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're changing in front of people and you're wrestling in front of small crowds. I mean, at an APW show, I wrestled in front of like 12 people one mm-hmm. time. We talk about there was a show in Carbondale that had like 9 people there one time. You know, and so we, and that is, and you still go out and you give those 9 people the best you can.
Yeah.
And you try to put on a good show, and, you know, it's, but you know, their first day, that's usually the insight that I give them is, you know, don't expect to make it to WWE. Don't expect to be a WWE superstar, you know, because it's a long road. Right now, just focus on, you know, loving wrestling. And we say all the time, at the training school, you know, Jay Spade helps train there.
Mm-hmm.
And we say we're good cop, bad cop.
Yeah.
So he's the good cop. I'm obviously the dick, if you can imagine that.
No, it'd be hard to imagine. So talk to me, too, about what, you know, and we'll steer this back to Curly, who, of course, the show this Saturday night, December 7th, coming up for is a fundraiser for Curly. You know, obviously, Curly had a different style than, say, a Brandon Espinoza or an Ace Hawkins, as you mentioned earlier, or even a Shane Rich. Curly was more of that entertainment, almost comedic style. Well, I guess it would be comedic style, you know, bringing his son out in those early days as well. How important is it when you get into the training with these guys, and how soon was it for you that you're establishing characters? I mean, I think a lot of times guys, maybe, and I'm wrong about this, but they may come in with the big ideas, but how are you going to execute it? How's it going to work? What is the most fundamental thing that they need to be working on before they get into the whole character development, do you think?
So, I mean, I'm big, and so they actually, a couple weeks ago at practice, I yelled and screamed for a while,
mm-hmm.
and made him do blow-up drills because I'm a stickler for footwork.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very big on watching your footwork, making sure your feet's in the right spot, and I don't even really watch the other stuff. And if you can't get your footwork down and can't put your feet in the right spot, you can't protect the other person. I mean, it's just you're going to trip and fall. You're going to be clumsy. So I'm over the top anal about footwork, mm-hmm. and how it looks, and it's got to look good. Now, once you get the footwork down, the basic, then we kind of move on to running the ropes and, you know, and moving on to faster paced things. However, I'll make them every time they lock up like it's Rock and Cena at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. If they don't, then they get out of the ring or they have to go again. I make them, when they take the arm and they do an arm wringer or put them in a headlock, they show some type of, you know, aggression, mm-hmm. or they show some type of charisma.
Yeah.
And because when you first start doing it, it's awkward to act, mm-hmm. you know, and sure. it's awkward to do that. And so the sooner you can get that down, the better, mm-hmm. you know. And there's been people that we've had that after a month are not able to do a back bump, like on demand,
mm-hmm.
and just, you know, and I've asked them to leave, and I just tell you're wasting your time.
Yeah.
Because this, if you can't bump, you know, then you're not going to be able, and that's not being mean.
Right. It's a reality, though.
If you can't bump and bump safely, then, like, one, you're going to hurt yourself, and I don't want that. And two, you're not going to be able to wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get through a match with doing one or two bumps, but at some point, you're going to have to bump or bump somebody.
Right.
And so, but I'm more big on the basics, the footwork, the fundamentals, the rolls. And they probably all growl when they know I'm coming to practice,
mm-hmm.
because I do footwork, I do blow-up drills, I do running drills, I don't try to make them puke, but I try to get them to that point to where mm-hmm. they're sick, and then they can keep on going. And you know, we're doing push-ups, we're doing a lot of things that it helps if you have a athletic background.
Mm-hmm.
It helps if you're going to the gym regularly and you have muscle and you have the ability. Me and Axe talk about this on the phone. You can spot somebody out who doesn't go to the gym,
mm-hmm.
or doesn't have an athletic type of movement. They get up slow.
Mm-hmm.
The way they get up is slow. The way they push off is slow. The way they do things is sloppy, and it's because they're not in shape. So we try to eliminate that from the get-go.
How often do you think it comes down to where someone has decided this isn't for them versus those who stay? Because, you know, through the almost 4 years now that Stride has been around, there have been a handful of guys who, and I keep saying guys, but men and women who have made it to the quote-unquote main roster, and you have a lot of up-and-comers who, like you said, you're working with on Tuesday and Thursday nights at the Stride building, but how many have you, percentage-wise, what would you say has not made the cut, and you've had to say, okay, you leave, or they have decided that this maybe isn't for them?
I mean, usually, to be honest, people that quit the first night.
Okay.
So most people come the first night and then they quit the first mm-hmm. night because they realize, you know, like we explain, you're not going to be at WWE. They see the building. I think it's beautiful. Some people probably don't think it's as beautiful.
Right.
And so, you know, they see that it's not glorious.
Yeah.
It's not, they're not a celebrity. It's just wrestling in a pole barn. And then the bumps, they're not easy. They hurt. And it takes a while to get used to them, and they quit. And so the other ones, though, I've only had in the whole 4 years, probably four or five that I've had to explain that this is not for them.
Oh, okay.
And this is not to pick on anybody,
sure.
but one who I'm really proud of is Zoe Moore.
Mm-hmm.
So she was... you know, and I hadn't been there. That was my fault. You know, I'm a full-time college student, and there for a while I had a class that was on Tuesday night,
okay.
And so I couldn't make it.
Yeah.
And that's not to knock on anybody else. Like I said, I'm bad cop, so I came in and she was struggling a little bit with some of the stuff, and I don't want to say I got in her, you know, her ass, but I told her, you have to bump, you have to do this, you have to come up here. And she started coming up on her own.
Mm-hmm.
We'd unlock the building. She'd go up there on her own, and she would work on exactly what I told her to work on. And I had told her, I can't put you in a match until you can do these things.
Mm-hmm.
And then she came, and she worked on it. And at the time, I thought, I'm going to have to tell her she can't do this. However, I think she just wasn't being told.
Mm-hmm.
And a different set of eyes wasn't on it. And when I told her, this is what you got to do, and she did it.
Mm-hmm.
And so now she's progressed, and she's probably the one that I've been the most proud of student-wise.
Yeah.
That, you know, like there's other ones, like Scott Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
When he started, we had to make him wear a helmet because his head would bounce off.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, he's going to kill himself.
Yeah.
And I was like, he came in with this long hair. He was quiet. His head was bouncing off, and he was 120 pounds. And I'm like, what am I going to do with this guy?
Mm-hmm.
He had no personality because
yeah.
he was quiet.
Right,
he didn't
right.
say anything. And then, but like we found the perfect opportunity with Jay Wills,
mm-hmm.
and the most over guy in the world, Heath Hatton, put him over. And that catapult. But I mean,
sure, it, sure.
But we always, like he always talks about that, the way he was introduced in and the way he acted and how goofy he was, and
yeah.
then we put him with Axe, and
yeah.
he just, like, he took off from there. And he,
yeah.
and to go back to what you said, so when I was at OVW, they would tell you, come to me with an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of what I told them. And, you know, Dexter Roswell is a prime example. He came to me with Luke Chambers,
mm-hmm.
who dressed like... who dressed like, you know, Jeff Hardy, but, you know, looked like Powder from Albino.
Yeah.
You know, and, or the Albino kid. And he has that Dexter, that, you know, real distinct voice.
Mm-hmm.
And he's
yeah.
out here looking like an emo
yeah.
in these big, huge pants that looks like he stole from that one store. I can't even think. In the Carbon Del Mall.
Hot Topic?
Yeah, he looked like he went in and robbed. And so I'm like, and I wrestle him as this guy.
Sure.
And we go to practice, and I tell him, I'm like, try this. And I come up with, and he was like, I don't want to do it. And I said, well, you can't be this gothic Twilight ripoff guy.
Right.
You know, you're not going to be Edward Cullen on my show acting like you're from Twilight.
Right,
and,
right.
And I said, it's just not going to work. And so... we did, so then actually that encouraged me, so we did a night of show me a character
mm-hmm.
you want to be. And I think I had one kid, I wanted him to be Simba from The Lion King and act like a lion. And so they didn't have to be their character, but I wanted them to find,
see what they could
yeah.
do, yeah.
And so I tell them, I have amazing wrestlers that want to wrestle. Like, I want characters, and... Brian Richards is a prime example. He is willing to try and do anything,
yeah.
you know, and he'll call me or message me and be like, hey, I want to wear a half shirt and say I'm better than butter. And it's stupid, but everything that he does, like, it's funny and it's comical. And he realizes that, like, what he lacks in natural wrestling ability,
mm-hmm.
he makes up in charisma
yeah.
or, you know, and... And so once I get him on the card, like Savion. Savion
mm-hmm.
can work. Savion can bump. Now we're in the process of showing a character in Savion.
Sure.
Savion now, he plays a heel. And he's always smiling. He's always happy.
Yeah.
And he's, if you know Savion, he's the nicest kid.
Yes.
And he is always so happy. And he's always so, like... you know, he has the sweetest voice, and so he's trying to be a bad... and you can't help but just like him. And I think
yeah.
the crowd likes him because
yeah.
he's out there, and he's just... So But pushing people to be uncomfortable and getting them to step outside the box and getting them to just try something.
Yeah.
You know, it's Stride Pro Wrestling. You know, we're in a building in Carterville.
Yeah.
You know, try something. Tell me what you want to do, and let's try it. And and kudos to, you know, Sam Hunter, because, you know, Sam is the one that came up with the Stride Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Sam's the one that positioned Battle Bowl with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Sam is always sending me, because I always tell Sam, I need help with out-of-the-box things.
Mm-hmm.
Things that, you know, I know basic stuff, but I want somebody with out-of-the-box thinking. And, mm-hmm. and Sam is really good at that. He's really good at, because he knows... You know, I didn't know what Battle Bowl was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't have a clue. And he told me and he explained it. So a lot of that older stuff, I don't know and I don't understand. And I didn't watch. I mean, I'm not as old as you, so I don't I don't get those. But I try to, with anybody, it's like they want to do something. And I try to, you know, Redneck no longer wanted to be Hogan. He wanted to be Stone Cold.
Sure.
So it's, you know, okay, let's do it. And Cash Borden is probably my favorite, because, you know, he'll come to me and he'll be like, hey, how about if we set a car on fire and I, you know, I slam Spade's head through it? And I'll be like, no. He'll be like, okay, well, he can slam my head into this car that's on fire outside in the parking lot. And I'm like, how about we put some tacks on a chair and you sit on it? And they'll be like, okay, that's fair. You know, yeah. but he's
negotiate
always,
him down.
Well, he's always, you know, he wants to do above and beyond, and he wants to, yeah, like, you know, he always wants to input, and that's helpful. When guys tell me, you know, I want to, you know, and I have guys that are, I want to wrestle this guy for the title and I want to win. And it's like, okay, Kevin,
like, you know, calm down. You're 46. You need to
come on, Kevin. Like, you know, make a nice tweet about me on Twitter, and I'll consider it. But
so, okay, let me ask you this, and this is probably a better question for Curly, but I know that you know a lot about his kind of backstory. What was it? How did that character evolve and come about? I know he had all the tattoos. Were the tattoos first, the Three Stooges tattoos? Or did that come along with the character?
He had the tattoos first. He went to, what I know about Curly is he actually went to the power plant, the WCW power plant, way back in the day. And
by the way, for the record, Curly is even older than me. You think I'm old. Curly's even older.
Well, Curly looks better.
Well, yes, obviously.
Well, you did go to the gym this morning.
I did go to the gym this morning.
Because I was giving you crap about it last night. But Curly went to the power plant, and I'm not for sure. He started going to Olney, and, okay, and that's where he, you know, came, but Curly would all the time, like, I was talking to the trainees about, you know, if we bring out the claw and he's going to grab somebody by the balls and throw them, and they're like, what? That's stupid. And I was like, I did that more than,
right,
probably any one person did it with the claw, because I wanted to wrestle, and when you wrestle Curly, you always, if you're a bad guy, you're going to get over because the crowd loves him.
Yeah.
And I look at wrestling differently than I probably most people. I'm very much into, I like stories.
Mm-hmm.
So we've talked about this before, and I don't want to know why two people... I want to know why two people are fighting.
Sure.
I don't want to see two people fighting just to watch them fight.
Right.
And I don't... And even like UFC, when there's a backstory, when Conor McGregor is mouthing something, it's more intriguing,
right,
to me. Yeah. And I just how I'm born. And I like watch a lot of movies. And Curly was that way. And Curly wasn't as far as back then. We didn't have month-to-month shows, mm-hmm, but we would go town to town, and Curly had a different story he wanted to tell that night.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the stuff that he did in the ring was the same. However, the story was different. The promo was different. The start was different. And, mm-hmm, but the match always had a story, and people never understood how good of a... I mean, not really so much ring psychology, but how much just story psychology that Curly had. And I gathered that from him. And he wanted to do more with entertaining the crowd. And he wanted to, and that was, that helped me out a ton, because that helped me learn how to get over and helped me learn how to keep the crowd engaged. Because there's nothing worse than wrestling and the crowd's quiet.
Right.
I mean, you get it all the time when you're out there. I understand. But I don't like it. You know, I need some noise and I need some people. And when you were wrestling Curly, I mean, you got that because he knew how to make the crowd. And then they felt bad when he was getting beat up.
Yeah.
And, so one of my favorite Curly stories is we're in Indiana. And I think we're by Indianapolis somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And we're wrestling. And I don't even know how he got us hooked up with this place. And it is like Redneck Central. And it is... like, it is bad. And so they got me and Curly are wrestling the main event.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in the middle of our opening spot, and Curly rolls out of the ring, and he's laughing real hard, and he has tears in his eyes, and he walks out in the crowd, and this guy has the best mullet I have ever seen. I mean, I can't even describe it. And Curly makes this guy stand up and shows the crowd this mullet. Well, then he starts, like, he has it and he starts doing this, like it's blowing in the wind.
Yeah.
And he's yelling for what ladies want to go home and party with this guy.
Oh, my
God. And he
God.
Spent, like, 5 minutes messing with this guy's mullet.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, I go out in the crowd and I start beating up Curly. And... anyway, there's a cop over there, and Curly looks at the cop and says, "Can I have your handcuffs?" And this guy hands Curly, and this guy's a real cop in this rinky-dink hellhole of a town.
Yeah.
And so we get in the ring, and then I kick Curly, and I throw the handcuffs out of the ring, and Curly's laughing again. And he says, "What do you think he would have said if I would have said, 'Give me your gun'?" And I said that. Anyway, and the cop was just laughing, and and this is a real cop.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, we go on. Well, we're laughing so hard that we forget the finish. And so Curly whips me off the ropes, and we're running at each other, and he runs by me, and I run by him, and he's laughing, and we hit the ropes, and we run by each other again. And then he stops, and I run at him, and I have never, at this point, had never went over the top rope this way, and he launched me over the top rope, and I land on the ground. I'm getting, this guy with the mullet grabs me from behind. And anyway, he grabs me, and Curly comes out of the ring, and he's like, "I got him from here." Well, he starts kicking me. Well, mullet guy had a son.
Oh, no.
And so Curly, we're out of the ring, and we're laughing hysterically. Well, the cop walks up, and there's maybe 40 people at the... it's not like it's a sold-out
arena. Right, right.
But anyway, this cop walks up and tells Curly to let mullet's son... hit me in the face.
Oh, no.
So Curly tells this kid to poke me in the eyes.
Uh-huh.
And so he's got me, and Curly leans down. He says, "Close your eyes." So I got my eyes closed as tight as I can, and I feel this blow.
Oh, man.
No, this kid punched me.
Holy cow.
As hard as he could, right in the nose.
Oh,
and
geez.
He hits me, and I thought he broke it. Blood starts coming out of my nose. He hits me again in the eye.
Jesus.
This kid is like 8. And he gives me a black eye. Curly throws me in the ring. I'm mad as hell. So I smack Curly across the face as hard as I can because I didn't want to punch him.
Yeah.
Anyway, we ended up getting in the ring, and Curly says, "Who's supposed to win?" I said, "I don't give a shit." I said, "Give me the body slam, hit the Curly elbow, and get me out of here." And so anyway, that was one of my favorite times with Curly, and every time I see somebody with a mullet, I think about
think of those
days. About that show, and I think about that kid breaking my nose.
So tell people again, it's this Saturday night. It's December 7th. It is going to be a huge night, nostalgic night, but also a look into the future of what Stride Pro Wrestling has to offer. How can folks get a hold of tickets? I know Front Row is essentially sold out at this point.
Yeah, so they can get tickets at Black Diamond. Mm-hmm. You know, they have plenty of general admission tickets. You can get them the night of. I think most of our fans, just that's kind of the norm. They can... the doors are going to open at 5:30.
Okay.
And so we are going to try to add extra front row. We haven't been aware of how the layout's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been dealing with some stuff with Black Diamond and trying to get that. But we may be able to add more front row. And so if that's the case, then it'll be first come, first serve, obviously.
Yeah.
And but as far as Stride, next year... you know, our next show is January 10th, mm-hmm. and that's going to kick off Stride Cup. So it'll start that night. And then we have two school shows in February. February 1st, we return to West Frankfort. And they have already messaged, and they plan on making the event bigger this year
than it was last year. And that was a huge event last year.
So they, there's a new girl. So the girl taking it over, she was the assistant last year, and she is now running it, so she wants to beat the girl. And so she is talking, like, she wants to get 700-800 people there.
Nice.
So I don't know what her plan of attack is, but that is what she plans to do. And then February 22nd will be at Johnson City, which is cool. That's where I work at now.
That's awesome.
So, and then the second week in March will be Stridiversary. So
looking forward to that. First 3 months already essentially planned out, but also we've talked about it before too. I don't know if we've talked about it on the podcast, but the Southern Illinois Miners want us back for two shows this time.
They bought us two. They were very, we were one of the most talked about things at their winter meeting.
That's
so
awesome.
I think we were told that we had one of the biggest crowds in August.
That's
so
awesome.
As far as paid crowds. So, I think the other night was like Pack the Blue, mm-hmm. which is a good night to do.
Sure.
As far as events, we had one of the better events. And I think they think if we do it on a Saturday, so we did get a Saturday show.
Okay.
And that's the May 30th. And then we'll be back again in August. And they were like super proud and happy with the show and went on and on about, you know, how great it was. And
I think their favorite was when I won the tag team title, so.
They asked to make sure that you didn't come back. But, you know what has been disheartening is so many people have asked why you didn't get a rematch at the titles. And I'm like, Sam Hunter.
That's right,
you
man.
Know? I mean, he's the guy in charge of this whole thing.
That's true.
And so there's people that... that message me that are mad at poor Sam, you know, and there are people that, you know, still think you own it. And, you know, and I just, when people are mad, I just pass the buck, you know.
There you
know
go. I mean, like, blame Sam.
Yeah. Message Kevin,
message
you know,
me.
And, but yeah, it's, the December 7th, I'm really hoping is going to be a huge show.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping that, you know, not just for, you know, not just for us to do that, but to make money for, you know, my friend and mm-hmm. Curly. And also, you know, it's exciting for me to get, you know, these guys back in the ring.
Yeah.
The Shane Riches and the Edmund McGuire's. I mean, Edmund's coming to practice this week.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to come and work with the kids and train.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so exciting.
Sure.
To me. And all that is more exciting to me than the actual show itself.
Yeah.
I get more, I mean, there's been times when I've kind of forgot what I'm supposed to do
mm-hmm.
at this show.
Yeah.
I'm like, what match am I in?
Yeah.
And because I'm so excited about everything else. And I've been messaging people about the Survivor Series match and who's going to be in it. And I've been messaging people about their match. And I get more, you know, more excited for that. And I get more excited for... you know, we have a huge surprise for Curly. He doesn't know about it. An opening skit that we're going to do.
Nice.
And I'm super excited for it. It's going to be a surprise for him. And there just stuff like that. Is,
mm-hmm.
It makes me excited. And being back at Black Diamond, where, you know, where I made you a star, and you know, I kind of put you on the map.
That's true. That is true.
And also, let's make this announcement to make the people happy. Kevin Huntsberger is returning to WSIL TV3 on Wednesday.
Oh, that's right. I was like, where are you going with this? Yes.
Don't act like you don't know.
I was confused for a second. Yes, I'm joining Heath and Curly on WSIL's morning show on Wednesday morning. So this week, be sure to tune in to that as well. We'll have more details on the Stride Facebook and Twitter and Instagram pages as well. So it'll be fun.
But I think the people will be happy. I mean, you've been missed.
Mildly, yeah.
Horribly. So we'll be on there. And I already have the picture from our first ever trip to the news with Curly. So,
oh yeah,
it's kind of cool. So
yeah, it'll be almost 10 years. About 9 years later. So it'll be fun.
I thought that I had made it when I was on the morning news.
I did too.
I didn't sleep the night before, and I was probably more nervous that I was meeting Eden Schultz.
Yeah.
And then I got there and realized I was meeting Kevin Huntsberger.
Yeah, wow.
And then this guy's like, hey, can I add you on Facebook? And then he's sending me messages. And I'm like, geez, I thought this guy was a star. And then he became obsessed.
That's right. And now we have a podcast.
And now we got a podcast, and I've made you a champion. And
that's right.
I've carried you and put you over, and
all true. That's all true. I can't argue.
And so you guys listening, if you're in a slump in your life and you you just know that I can make it better.
That's right. That's right. Well, I appreciate it once again. Two is greater than one. We will be back next month and maybe have some new things going on in the works with that as well.
I think so. I'll go ahead and say what I think.
Okay.
So I've had a lot of people message me.
Okay.
And ask. They want me to, and I say a bunch, like two.
Okay.
But they probably don't listen. But they want to know what my WWE private tryout was like.
Okay.
And I've never really talked about it in depth. I mean, at different places. But
sure.
It's kind of a real funny story. So my first one that I did. So we'll talk about that.
Okay. I would love to hear more about that because I don't know how deep you can go into those kind
of
conversations.
I'll go into it deep. I mean, I'm never going to be a WWE superstar. I'm never going to be under contract. So, and it's not a bad thing. It was actually a great experience and a lot of fun, and
I had
a blast doing it. And but it's funny the way it worked out, and it's funny the way that it went, and it was a great learning experience, and it involves a pretty funny story.
Awesome.
So that takes place. So
well, that is the tease then for next month, friends. Once again, we will be back with more podcasts, more episodes here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. Have a great week, and we will see you Saturday night at Black Diamond Harley Davidson in Marion, Illinois.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.